from the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Another glorious weekend in the Great Lakes State of Michigan. Heading towards fall, and that sacred day of September 15th has come and has gone. It has launched the small game season here in Michigan. And that is truly, by my standards, the absolute rite of passage to get to hunt bigger things. Now, I'll talk about that in a little bit, but first I want to thank our friends at Not Just Guns, 127 and Cedar Street in Mason. Not Just Guns, make sure you check out their Wednesday night auctions, and they got great stuff, man. Online, notjustguns.com. Not only do they have lots and lots and lots of firearms, but they have ammunition, they have everyday carry items, as well as all the necessities you need for you know, shooting and hunting. I love it, man. They're a great, great company. And we'll be looking forward to doing a live broadcast there on November 3rd, the first of two in November that I'll be doing it, Not Just Guns. Also, our friends at Conquest Scents. And, of course, they have their new vaporizing scents in Evercalm and in VS1. And they've got a lot of other things that they're working on, as well as their original scents in a stick at conquestscents.com. And, of course, United Deer Farmers of Michigan, getting a lot of work done in the research for CWD on top of managing some great, great deer herds in the Great Lakes State. So I want to thank them. And again, real quickly, want to go into the small game season that started on September 15th. That, for me, was my rite of passage, getting into the woods to hunt and to, you know, be a part of the community that we all know and love so much. And it was, you know, being taught patience and marksmanship and woodsmanship and basically studying the habits of animals before you moved on to the bigger things. Nowadays, you know, we have the early youth season and things of that nature. I'm not knocking that. Let's get this straight right now. But I do like how I came up, you know, starting small. And it wasn't go right to the big stuff first, which is, in this case, what we do a lot in this country. But, you know, starting small never hurt me, and I don't think it hurt anybody else. And for those of you who still do that, congratulations, man. You guys have my utmost respect. But we're going to bring my good friend Mark Sack in. He's an outdoor writer, avid outdoorsman, on the show here today. Mark, good morning and welcome. How are you?
Good, good. Good morning. Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I think, you know, it was a different day back then, though, obviously. So, but we celebrate the September 15th holiday of the opening of small game because my chocolate lab was born on that day, too.
Well, see, it's extra special for you.
Yeah, and Cooper, you know, he gets to lick the plates that day. So
exactly. Well, you know, I mean, you remember how it was, Mark, when you know, you're out there with whoever was taking it. For me, it was my dad, and it was, you know, it was squirrel hunting. I was out there with a 410, and, yep. You know, it was, it's still to this day, I love it, even though I have probably a much closer connection with squirrels, which is weird, than I've ever had. You know, since they, when I'm in a tree stand, they decide to come down, hang out on my shoulder, literally, to see what I am. Yeah. And there's no shooting that close. But it was a different, like you said, it was a different time.
It was. And I started the same way, only on cottontails, and was raised on a dairy farm, which really got me out into the outdoors at a very young age. But, you know, we still couldn't hunt until we passed our hunter safety. And we did our hunter safety in school. My sixth grade teacher gave us our hunter safety. And I went rabbit hunting with my 410, which my dad got me for my birthday and my 12th birthday. And he was out picking corn, and my uncle was walking alongside me. And a big old cottontail jumped up and ran. I remember it vividly, even though it was like 100 years ago. And I missed him by a mile and a half, you know. And I can still remember my uncle laughing at me, you know.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Right.
I can still smell the smell of the sulfur right now.
Well, you know, I remember my first rabbit. You bring that up, and it's a great memory too, because I was out walking with my dad. I was 12, and you know, I jumped a rabbit, and of course, there was no way in heck I'm getting the shot off that fast. But I stopped and I watched it come back, and it circled around and it stopped, and I took that shot, and the rabbit flipped, and I went over there, and I remember looking at it and just staring at it, you know, for like a full 5 minutes after I had taken it, you know, and just sat there and looked at it and go, you know, and I can't really remember what was going through my head at that time, but I remember after the fact, after staring at it and contemplating everything that I had done, how cool it was to say, hey, Pops, I got this one.
Yeah. And, you know, how many memories, first-time memories, do we really remember that vividly, you know?
Right, exactly.
I mean, it's just an amazing passage. It really, truly was. So, I you know, I wish that for all the kids today.
Absolutely. So, now, I mean, here we are. I mean, we're making our way towards fall. The days are getting shorter. We're starting to see, you know, some salmon getting to the rivers. And you are going to be heading up to the UP with some other outdoor riders.
I am. A bunch of rascals. Dave Rose and Rick Fowler and a couple guys in the DNR are heading up too, just to hang out, really. And we're going to do some, I'm hoping to fish a couple different UP lakes. I'd really like to fish Brevoort Lake. I haven't been up there in years, and you know, they've really been working on it, trying to increase some walleye population up there. And it's got some of those big old muskie in there, you know, which I'd love to get a hold of one of those. And we may do some other lakes too, Manistique, but we are going to get out grouse hunting for a day or two. So, you know, it's going to be a cast and blast, and we're hoping that we can, you know, not have to eat McDonald's somewhere, you know, that we can eat what we catch. Although, you know, they're outdoor riders, we're outdoor riders, so we may be eating crow. We don't know.
Right. Well, the white tail there in Brevoort, it's got a pretty good pasty. So, in case you miss anything,
we may have to hit it. We'll see. But you know, the weather's looking really fallish. It's going to be like 50, high 50s up there, sunny. So you know, it all depends on turnover on the lakes up there and how things are going. And we're thinking about sneaking up to Munising too and see if we can get a splake on the line. So
nice.
That would be a very good story. I know we'd all be writing real fast if we could get a few splake going up there. So we're going to try to do a few different things that can cover a lot of ground, and really help us out with some stories in the future too. And it's so underfished up there, really. I mean, those lakes, you know, you just don't see a whole bunch of folks, especially this time of year. July may be different, but this time of year it really starts to dwindle as far as fishermen go on the lake. So we'll see what happens.
Mark Sack is our guest here on Wild Michigan. You can find us online at wildmichiganradio.com. Mark, fall in the UP is such, even pre-fall, late summer, if you will, it is such a magical time, and grouse hunting is something that is so overlooked by many of us down here.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we used to hunt them here. I had one woods, believe it or not, down by the Lapeer area. It was actually north of Emily City. We could go in that woods, and we could put, and we always called them pat, and partridge, you know. And we could put a couple pat up in that woods. It was a real heavily, it was a big timbered woods, but it had an area of real young growth like the grouse like, and we could always put a few up. Didn't mean we'd get them, you know. They're always tough to shoot because they are also one of the first, you know, wing shooting opportunities besides now goose. I mean, obviously there's a lot of goose hunters that have got a few in the bag, but that September 15th grouse, and as sly as those little buggers are, it's always a tough shot, so it'll be fun to see what happens with us up there.
All right, speaking with Mark Sack, we're going to come back with him, talk a little bit about fishing, and if you're going grouse hunting, make sure your heart medication's in check. That's all I'm going to say from personal experience. Coming back in a few minutes, it's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at wildmichiganradio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, all over the Great Lakes State, being brought to you by our friends at the United Deer Farmers of Michigan. And they are putting some big work together in researching for CWD. And speaking off air with Doug Roberts, man, we get so much great information from Doug at Conquest Sense. But United Deer Farmers of Michigan doing a phenomenal job on finding ways and, you know, what's causing CWD. Because it's not only their vested interest in their private facilities, it's the herd of the state that matters to all of us. And they are putting big money into it. And the truth about CWD.com is the website. You can find all that information out at. Now, back to Mark Sack here joining us. And Mark, real quickly off air, I mentioned it was 7 years ago on the 13th that I, along with landowner Ernie Pruskevich up in Gaylord, I took my bull elk. And not, look, it wasn't the biggest bull ever. But it's my bull. And man, look, if you ever draw a tag, I'm just going to tell you right now, don't panic like I did, because I had no money for a guide. I had to borrow a rifle. I was staying on the cheap up there, like cheap motels and buying a bunch of, you know, stuff at the Walmart to have sandwiches. And look, it can be done. Okay, the help of the Michigan DNR up there in Gaylord put me in contact with a bunch of landowners, and I got the right one at the right time. So, again, don't panic, man. It can be done. If you need help, call me. I'd be happy to help you, where I didn't get help before. But the Michigan DNR was very, very instrumental. And
hard to believe that it's been 7 years, buddy.
Dude, I know. I looked at we call the elk Big Earn, you know, named after – the guy that whose property we were on when I took him. And I can't believe it's been that long. Just cannot.
Well, I can tell you this. I might be calling the DNR just about like grouse this weekend.
Right?
Let alone an elk.
Look, I got Al Stewart's number if you need it. He's the guy. He's the go-to guy when it comes to that.
Yeah, good old Al. Yeah, you betcha. But you know, we've also got, I can just tell you this, I've been a big pheasant guy for a long time, and actually the president of Lapeer County Pheasants Forever for 13 years, and I passed that baton on, but I had packed in habitat at my house, and we've got a fairly decent year for birds this year. I've got my finger on the pulse of them all the time. I've been retired for a couple years now, so I'm listening to the crows. I'm pretty tuned into that, and I've got a lot of switchgrass here that I've planted, and which not only, I mean, if anybody really wants to enhance their property, even if it's 10 acres, it is possible to do some great things on small pieces. And I actually had a point where I had 16 roosters in my front yard.
Wow.
And they were all wild. They're not let go around here. I'm nowhere near any preserves or anything like that, and or state game areas. We just had, you know, we had that mild winter last year, so they had a little bit of cover to hide in, you know. Mm-hmm. And we had a decent hatch this spring. I mean, undoubtedly, I watched my dog ran out into that switch, because I've got some. I took my front yard out and put switchgrass in because I didn't want to mow that much. And so I could sit on my porch and listen to those birds crow while good old Cooper runs out there. And he flushes a young batch, you know, and they're all little birds, and you can hear it. It's so funny to hear those young roosters trying to crow when they fly. But it's, you know, it could be a pretty decent year. Obviously, the important thing is to get out and work your neighbors a little bit and to find a place to hunt, because that's been the toughest thing. We've got all these little parcels now that are 10, 20-acre parcels. And, you get October 20th rolls around and you get ready to go and you find out that, you know, three roosters are up in the neighbor's garden. They're not on your piece of switchgrass anymore. So that's the tough part, you know, and you just got to, I mean, I've always found that trading walleye works really well.
Well, see, there it is. Walleye is a great source of barter. I mean, it really is. I've used it myself. So you walleye anglers, you got more gold in your freezer than you probably know.
Well, and a good story about that, I had a neighbor who was an old farmer. He was probably, he was probably 80 at the time I approached him 10 or 12 years ago, and he had this beautiful piece of set aside, all reed canary grass, and I could watch the roosters flying across, back and forth across the road. And so I went over to him, I took him a big bag of walleye, you know, and I knocked on the door, and he comes out, and he doesn't have any teeth at all, you know. He says, "Hey, what do you want?" You know, and I said, "Oh, I'm just Mark Sack from down the street. I know Kenny and a bunch of your nephews, and thought I'd bring you some walleye up." And I handed him the bag of walleye, and so I was wondering if I could hunt that piece across the street over there, and just walk through it a couple times and run my dog and see if I could get a rooster out of there. And he looks at me, and he looks at the walleye, and he says, "Well, thanks for the fish." "Nope, you can't hunt." And he turned around and went inside.
Well, those older guys, what they got to lose, right?
So it was good anyways. You tried to increase neighbor relations anyways, but I didn't get to hunt the piece.
Right.
But that happens sometimes, too. So, you know, what are you going to do?
But, you know, like I've always said, man, whether I'm asking to hunt property or picking a barn, the worst they could do is say no, you know, and that's
right.
It, you know, and but that's the one thing too, for those of you who have barns that have a lot of stuff and you need me to come buy your stuff, what are you really doing with it? I mean, nothing. So just call me and I'll come bring cash. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's, and you know, what a growing little industry that is too, huh?
Oh
yeah.
My gosh, man. You know what? I've done this since I was about 10 years old and I've been doing it more so full time, along with the radio thing. It's very competitive, but it's just, man, it's like fishing. When you get that big one on, you want to go for the next biggest one. And when you find that one cool piece, the one piece that might make, you know, your month or your year or whatever, you got to find the next one. It's like, I don't even care about selling it. I just want to find this stuff.
Well, yeah. And it's out there too. My goodness. I mean, my dad himself had 50 years of dairy farm, you know, and he passed this June, but we had a whole pole barn, and we got most of the stuff out of there, and there was still some good stuff in there, but, you know, the guy that ended up buying it, he says, "Man, can you take some of that stuff out of there?" I said, "No, man, it's all yours. You bought it."
Yeah, no kidding.
But, well, yeah, you know, obviously there's, you know, and we're nearing, you know, we're starting to near the end of a lot of those old farms that had such really cool barns with them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they had all of the, you know, somebody had an old, you know, 1940 Ford pickup sitting in that barn for 40 years, you know, and it's, that stuff is starting to come to pass. A lot of those barns are starting to fall down, and it's pretty sad because I love those old barns. There's a Facebook page called Michigan Old Barns, if anybody wants to look it up. Really cool. Just pictures of barns.
Definitely be doing that. And real quickly, I picked up a beautiful mobile gas or mobile oil gargoyle porcelain sign up in the UP for dirt cheap, and I'll tell you that story off air. Got more coming your way. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Everything about you makes me want you, know what you're doing, baby, don't you?